it's obvious that when these two team up, the result is magical.
This Week in Tennis.
And we brought this dynamic duo together once again.
Welcome to This Week in Tennis.
Craig, did you know that only 10 men since 2003 Wimbledon, not named either Nadal, Federer, or Djokovic, have won a Grand Slam? Amazing, huh?
Yeah, and I bet you most of those have been in the last 5 or 6 years since there's been a little bit of a downturn in that big three.
Welcome to This Week in Tennis. I'm Phil Nasons, he's Craig Doyle, and we're here today to preview the 2023 French Open that begins on Sunday. It's one of the few now that do begin on Sunday. Get it all in. It should be a great tournament. Carlos Alcaraz is the favorite, but Novak Djokovic is chasing history. What do you think about all that?
That comes at an interesting time, doesn't it? I mean, Mr. Djokovic isn't playing his best, or he hasn't been in recent weeks on the clay. So it creates an interesting dynamic. You've got the new kid on the block who a lot of people favor for this one. He's in his favorite against a guy who is chasing history but not playing particularly well. And then we've got a few, and we'll come to them shortly, outside bets who maybe surprise everyone by winning this one.
And that's just it. Maybe some will, some won't. Djokovic opens, though. He's got a pretty good draw, to be honest with you. He's got a great shot at it, I think. He always has a shot, right? But he drew that kid that played at Illinois, so it should be an interesting first round. Does he win it, though?
I don't think so. I don't think he wins here. I think he maybe wins next month in London, but he doesn't win here.
He doesn't win here. And why do you think that is, though?
I just think he's not been playing particularly well on the dirt. I think his game's not the best suited to this surface. I think there'll be a lot of long matches, a lot of long points, which is something he's not going to be looking to play day in, day out. I can see matches going into fourth and fifth sets potentially against tougher opponents. And I don't think for him that suits the way that he's been playing. I think he's probably the master at first strike tennis, and I think he will likely find that a lot easier on the grass when the ball is moving a little bit quicker across the surface. And I just get the feeling that he's not really geared up his season to winning here. I think he's probably looking at next month and thinking, I've got a better chance of winning there, or a better chance of winning in New York at the end of the year than I do here on this surface.
He'll be lucky to get into New York the way things are going. But I don't know. You know what? I kind of disagree with you, Craig. I think Novak is Novak. I think at the end of the day, he has so much money and so many trophies that the only ones that matter are these. You know, he won his two consecutive matches in Rome. That was the first time all season on clay that he had done so. He didn't look too bad. It's a good price for him. Honestly, it's a good price. Anytime you can get him at plus money, and I think it's plus 365, around $100 will get you 365 if you take him. I don't know. I have to take him. He's going to be one of the plays I make. I'm going to probably make about three. They're all good value, but I like the way he's playing. I think the big test will be right off the bat because the kid he's playing, you know, he's 0-4 on the dirt. He's busted his ass. How would you like to be this young fella? Bust your ass through these challengers. You know, this kid has played everywhere but Mars in the last year. He's played everywhere. And he's gotten himself to the point where he doesn't have to qualify. And that's a beautiful feeling to know that you're in without having to really exert yourself for three additional matches. It's tough. Good for him. Bad luck. I bet he takes a set, though. I bet Novak comes out slow. You know, he's not used to the fans jeering him like they've been, so we'll have to see. But Carlos Alcaraz, he's 20-2 on the dirt. The kid's won three clay court titles this season. He's the number one seed. He's got an interesting draw because inside his section, he's got Tsitsipas probably in the quarters and a Novak Djokovic semi possibly. What's up with that?
Not the best draw in the world, but when you're the best player on a surface, I don't think it matters. I think like everyone probably wants to see that semi-final that you just mentioned. Maybe even that quarterfinal with Tsitsipas. I think you've got a real blockbuster quarterfinal, which could make for a really exciting final few days of the tournament if you're going to see Alcaraz playing against these top players and proving that he's going to be the man. It's going to be quite a big ask for him with the draw that he's got, actually, to see his way through the draw. He's also got another slight problem, I think possibly fourth round, in that he could come up against Cameron Norrie. And you and I were hounding on Norrie the other week because we saw an advantage there. But Norrie's actually beaten him this year already on clays. So, yeah, that's another tough match. There's a few tough matches ahead for this guy. I'll be impressed if he actually gets his way through the draw and wins this thing. It would be a real sign of potential dominance to come if Alcaraz gets through this. And we always have to remember as well, he's got a bit of a sketchy injury record at the minute. He's not the most robust individual, so a lot of hard matches ahead. I don't see too much value in him at the price being offered.
No, I don't either. You know, he puts out a lot of energy, big energy, and he's become a fan favorite, hasn't he? But 3 out of 5, that's a different monster altogether. And 3 out of 5 on the dirt, that's a different animal altogether as well. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to put money on him. He'll probably win because I don't. But I love his game. He's a bigger hitting version of his coach. You know, Juan Carlos Ferreira was not a bad tennis player. I see Alcaraz winning this tournament multiple times. Just not this time. You know, I think it's tough. I think he's having an interesting time being the hunted rather than the hunter. We'll see how it goes. I mean, obviously he's had a great season. He's had a great career thus far. You know, it's hard to say great career after just 2 seasons, right? But he's already done enough to be in the Hall of Fame already at age 20. Amazing, huh? But not for me. You know who people aren't talking about? And someone I'm definitely high on. And I've been high on him for the last couple weeks. And he's definitely aided my bank account over those 2 weeks by playing this Inspire clay court tennis after, you know, so many years. Medvedev has said things like, I hate clay, blah, blah, blah. I happen to agree with him on that sentiment. But this kid's got a good price. He's got a great draw. He's 10-2 on the dirt this year, which is a big jump. I think he's, what, 23-29 lifetime before this season, something like that. I like Medvedev to win it. He's got a great, great draw, man.
Oh, he's got a ridiculous draw when you actually look at it on paper. You look down that section, you look at anyone in the first 3 rounds that could potentially beat him, and you're not picking any names out of there. You look at round 4, and you're still looking at it, and you're thinking, well, when does he actually face somebody that we think could take him out? Is it going to be someone like Zverev later on? He's still struggling a little bit coming back from injury. Yeah, I mean, it could be even later in the draw. It's going to be someone like a Sinner or a Ruud who's really going to push him. But, you know, he might be fresh by the time he gets to that point if he's able to navigate these what on paper look like easier contests in the first round. So, wow, you know, it's a dream draw for this guy to go probably get himself into the semifinal quite comfortably.
I would think so, right? He has Sinner, a possible match with Sinner in the fourth round. Or I'm sorry, that's in the quarters. Excuse me, I apologize. Still early for us here. But I like this play. I like that a lot. You know, you don't see too many opportunities like that. You know, he is a Grand Slam winner. And why not, right? Why not take the time now, grab it now while he can? Because, you know, who knows what's going to happen in another year? These young guys are starting to come up. Speaking of young guys, Holger Rune. Whew. 14-3 on the dirt, dude. He's in the same quarter, though, with Medvedev. That ought to be interesting. But Medvedev has beaten him six straight times. I don't think it'll be that interesting if they do play. But he's 14-3. He got to the finals of Monte Carlo, Munich, and Rome. He drew Christopher Eubanks in the first round. What do you think about our friend Holger?
It's a great first round draw, isn't it? I mean, there's not too many Americans who are going to come over here and dominate on the dirt. So
there aren't any. We're not even going to talk. This is probably one of the few we'll talk about today.
Well, yeah, probably. We'll talk about even less British players today. But, yeah, I think when you're playing against a guy who's reached those finals already this year on the tour, he's a serious bet for to win it. And I think the money's actually quite good on him. He's not going to be a favorite with too many people because I don't think his name's out there. Certainly not within the non-regular tennis watching public. I think the type of person who puts a bet on is not going to be drawn to him unless they've been watching quite regularly. But it's hard to. It's a great draw, isn't it? Second round could be a little bit tricky though. He could come up against Monfils, and Monfils on that. Philippe Chatrier court it's one of the things when you buy a ticket, you want to see a French player playing on that court and the crowd getting behind them. It's quite interesting dynamic to watch. And Monfils, he's been around the block a few times. He's one of the senior citizens on this tour at this stage. He's got a huge following down there. So it'd be interesting to see Rune, if he comes up against Monfils, how he deals with that reaction that you get on that big central court. And you can guarantee they'll put that one on the night slot, get people down, get it on the TV, make sure everyone's watching. So that'll be an interesting second round contest, I think.
I think so too. I'm not putting any money on Holger to win. He's young, he's cocky. I don't think he's got the greatest team behind him, but that's just me. And I'm not going to go any further with that, but you know, then we have some guys who probably could win, like Stefanos Tsitsipas. You know, he's been a roller coaster since he was about eight. So watching him go up and down like this is nothing new. 13-4 this season on the dirt, though. Very, how do I put this? Very quiet 13-4, right? You know, he got to the finals of Barcelona. He opens up with Yuri Vesely, which is a tricky round. But if anyone who got the worst end of this thing in terms of draw is Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Yeah, it's not great. We know that he's impressed here before, but to get to where he's been before, there's a lot of hurdles to overcome. But at the end of the day, you got to win seven matches the same as everyone else, even if they're a little bit more tricky than what other people are going to play. He's got the capability to do that if he's dialed in. The surface is suited to his game. So I'm not going to write him off, but I'm certainly not going to be sticking my money down on him today and saying, I think this guy's going to win.
Yeah, there's not a way in the world that I'm going to bet on him as a future to win. That's a tough draw. He's got Djokovic in there. He's got Alcaraz in there. These are guys he can beat, though. He's beaten them. So, I mean, he's gotten to a couple of finals. You know, they don't hand those out in the supermarket, but what a tough draw, a real tough draw. Now we've got Jannik Sinner. We mentioned him before. He got to the semis of Monte Carlo. He's 11-2, and he drew Mueller right off the bat. That's not going to be an easy match for him, playing a local kid like that.
No, it's never. It's never easy playing someone like that in the first round, especially because like first day of the tournament, second day of the tournament, the crowd's really hyped up. When you get there on the Sunday or the Monday, the people are really hyped up. That's the first couple of days of the tournament, great weather, hopefully. They're getting to see, there's going to be a lot of French players in that first round in both men's and women's draw. You're going to see them on the bigger courts where the more people can see them. If you're not used to that sort of partisan style atmosphere, it can be quite tricky. I was just looking down the draw for particular names like Richard Gasquet. I mean, if you've not been to Roland Garros, you're not going to see this on the TV. But yeah, I've seen this guy appear at a window, and there's 1,000 people outside chanting his name on the campus at Roland Garros. Now, he stands, he waves out the window. There's 1,000 people, kids there. You know, they all know this guy. He's like a rock star there. It makes it really difficult in the early rounds to play against these people. And they're going to have more, you know, the likes of Mannarino, et cetera. There's so many players, first, second round French players, that it can be really awkward if you draw one of them and you're put on the big court and the crowd's against you. So it's definitely something to look out for in the first two rounds, is who's playing someone French, and is the French player playing particularly well? Because if they're playing anyway halfway decent, I think it's pretty dangerous. The only one I wouldn't worry about is your friend Benoit. I've noticed that he sneaked into the draw somewhere.
Yeah, he has. He seems to be playing Inspired Tennis. He's playing challengers to get there now.
Yeah, I think he's playing against Cameron Norrie, actually. He got a wild card parry. His rankings, he's not in the top 100 at the minute. You know, he didn't want to play at all a couple of years ago, but he's up against Norrie in the first round, and again, like, it'll be interesting to see how the crowd takes to him. Probably back him despite all of the issues that he's had, but he could be a good bet in the first round if you're looking for a bit of you're going to get huge money on him to win, so it might be a good price.
It might be. He won't get my money.
We figured that.
No. See, I think he should have been kicked out of tennis for life, but that's just my opinion. Okay, so before I get carried away here, get myself in trouble. Not that I'm afraid of the guy, but because, I mean, no one is. But Gaspar Ruud. I love that kid, man. He's so cool. His father's a great guy, you know. So, I mean, what a great family. Another Dane. That's two Danes in the top 10. What a great city, Copenhagen, by the way. If you've not been there, I highly suggest that you do. The Hard Rock is a pretty good place to be in Copenhagen. There, unpaid announcement. I could be like a travel guy, Craig. 84 countries on my passport. The nurse, listen to this. The nurses at physical therapy, they were teasing me about how many places I've been. So I showed them all my passports. That was enough. Wow. Do you have a maid?
No. This building's got people who come in and clean the sort of corridors and stuff, so you're going to hear people in the background.
Wow, you got thin walls. But whatever, I just wondered. I said, wow, Craig's moving up in the world, you know, because we hit a bunch of underdogs. You never know, right?
We hit a bunch of underdogs, and now we're moving from the penthouse to the palace.
Ah, right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm really excited for this French Open, but Ruud, he's 14-5 on the dirt. He did win Estoril. You know, he started out slow. As you can imagine, I mean, the young fella has won two. Count them two. Or I should say, got into two Grand Slam finals. You know, that's heady stuff, right? And he's come from this place and come from that place and come from wherever. But at the end of the day, and no, I'm sorry, Mr. Ruud is not from Denmark. He's from Norway. And I apologize, Christian, because I certainly know better about that, don't I? Anyway, Ruud, 14-5. He opens with a qualifier. He's got an interesting kind of freaky draw. Is he worth a few shekels?
He probably is, actually. He was playing well in Rome, which is always like a good indication for this event. If someone has a good time in Rome, they tend to follow up on that by when they get to Paris. So maybe if you're looking for someone with a real outside shot, and he's been close before, he just happened to run into somebody who's nigh on unbeatable at this place. I think, yeah, why not? Give it a go.
Yeah, you like him, don't you? I knew you did.
I really do on this surface. Like, there's something there, and I just feel that at some point he could win this one. It's maybe going to get a bit harder now with some younger guys coming on, but he's got something.
He's a younger guy too, though. I'll tell you, these young guys, They're coming strong. I have an article up at IL Betting where I preview the men's side of the draw, at least. And we talk a little bit about that. Last person up, for me anyway, Taylor Fritz. He's the only American that has a shot at accomplishing something down there. He's 7-4 on the dirt. He got to the semifinals of Monte Carlo and Munich. So those are big wins. And Geneva, excuse me. And he opens up with another American, Michael Mamal. What do you think about this one?
I think he'll probably be gone by about the fourth round.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just difficult to see how he maintains that momentum. Like, he's in the better half of the draw. He's in that Medvedev half, which is probably better for him. But I just look at it and I think he's going to run into Holger Rune at some stage, who I think on the dirt is just a much better player. That matchup, if you said to me it was at the US Open, I wouldn't be so confident in picking Rune. I'd probably go the other way and go Fritz. But yeah, I just look at it and I think he's got maybe one too many hurdles on this surface. I think he'll do okay. I don't think he'll come away disappointed with his performances. But I think there's better times to come for Fritz later in the year. And I think that's a horse we'll be backing further down the line.
For sure. Do you have anybody else you want to talk about on the men's side of things before we flip the switch?
Not really. I think we've covered most of the... I don't really see there being too many surprises. I don't have any sort of clay court specialists that I would pick out that I think might go on a bit of a run. I think we've covered the main ones.
Sounds good. All right, let's go over to the women's side. We're not going to get as deep as into the WTA side because, frankly, I'm not touching it. I can't trust hardly. I can't trust them. Can you?
No, I think other than the Australian Open, I've not really looked at the women's tour this year and made many plays. I can't think of a tournament where I've been invested and thought, you know what, I'm going to sit and play this week and with any sort of degree of confidence that I'm going to have success. So I've backed off quite significantly.
And we should, because quite frankly, they've backed off. And I don't, you can't really trust them. We've talked about that last week with the bagels that they're every match. I mean, like I said before, how do you have a match go three sets and barely break 22 games? That's 18 games minimum right there. So you can't really bet the totals and you don't really know for sure which one's going to try and which one isn't. However, Iga Świątek is a minus 125 favorite. She's got a heinous draw. But she's pretty much dominated for the last, 18 months or so. Is she the outright winner, or is there somebody else like maybe a Barbara Krejcikova or a Rybakina or maybe Sabalenka? Ange Jabeur, maybe? Anybody that you think can upset or dethrone Iga Świątek?
Not if she's playing to at least 90% of her potential. I think everything when she's playing well is so good that it's just hard to get through her. She's tough, hence why she's had the success that she's having. You look down the names and you're really looking for somebody to hit a rich vein of form, but I don't have a name of someone who I think is going to put seven matches together consistently. Not today. Maybe if we come back next week, I'm sure we will, halfway through the draw, we'll probably say, okay, such and such has looked pretty impressive. But, you know, I've backed Jabeur plenty of times and it's not really done me any favors. I've booked Sakari plenty of times, CD8, and that's... No, she's not done me any favors. There's a lot of people in there that I like for a match or two, but I don't think it's going to win it. It's so difficult to see someone winning seven matches And I'm sure the betting odds, actually, the price that you're being offered will reflect that.
For sure. I think some interesting matchups possibles are Jessica Pegula, Maria Sakkari, fourth round. That should be interesting. You know, those girls try, at least, most of the time, I suppose. Ariana Sabalenka, plus 650. That's not a bad price. I think the one I like is Rybakina. I like her a lot. I like the way she plays. I like the way she handles her business on the tennis court. I think that she's also one of those players that some don't seem to care much for these days, probably because she's winning. So I like her. Barbara Krejcikova, I seem to think she's a player who could do well on clay here. Let's see, who else? What about Coco Gauff at 3,500? You know what? She got to the finals last year. This is the surface. If you think Coco Gauff is going to win a major maybe this year or ever, this is the one right here. This is the one, Craig. This is her surface, which doesn't expose any of her flaws, allows her to be an athlete, and if she can stay focused for throughout this fortnight, she's got the type of draw she could win this tournament.
Yeah, although the problem is she's not playing particularly well at the
moment. Well,
minute.
No one is. I mean,
you know, you look at her singles, she's barely managing to put two matches together on the dirt anyway. And I had the same opinion of fifth seed Caroline Garcia. She'll win a match and she'll lose a match. And you're not going to win this event by winning a match and losing a match. You're going to have to go win multiple matches. And when I looked at Gauff, I thought, you know, she's losing to people who are okay players, like Buzkova in Rome, Badoza in Spain. You know, those weren't good draws. But she's also, like, she went to Stuttgart and Potapova, beat her quite comfortably. It's not a good run on the dirt. She's only won three. She's played six, won three, lost three. It's going to be tough for her.
I'm going with Rybakina. We'll see how Coco does. You know, you can bet. The great thing about women's tennis is because it's so up and down, you can bet these futures next week and still get good prices for them. And that's the key. Is there anything else you want to bring up about any of this before we say goodbye?
No, I think I'd advise betting daily. Get a feel for it. See who's hot in the first couple of rounds. Women's side, I'm not going to be betting outright. I just don't see a winner at this stage, but I'll be betting daily. I'll be making some picks daily, so that's going to be my strategy, particularly on the women's side. Is the first few days I'm going to get a feel for it. I'm going to make a few picks, see if it plays out for me.
And me, I'll be making picks daily. I guess the best thing for you to do, because they're not going to probably be public, is you're going to have to follow me on Betstamp. You can get that link on my Twitter account. You can follow me at Nason's Phil. Even Craig doesn't follow me, so maybe if you do, he will. But that's about it. I have a betting guide up there at IL Betting in case you've never bet. It's a basic guide for that. I'll have the French Open preview up for the men's side later today. All right, for Craig Doyle, I'm Phil Nason's. Thanks for listening to This Week in Tennis.
This Week in Tennis.